pass me nigh. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at thy throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Spring of all my comfort, more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee? Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew chapter 26, verses 40 through 41. Hello, everyone. I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Monday night prayer night. Well, actually, it's split. We have Pastor Fred that comes and teaches the first, well, we'll say half hour to 45 minutes. And then when he's finished, we have the watch and pray. So it's a double header tonight. And we're always glad to have Pastor Fred with us. And so it's sort of open-ended. The time is open-ended. There's a lot of prayer. We keep going and going and going till everybody's satisfied they prayed. So let me go here to, and there is Pastor Fred. Hello, Pastor Fred.
Hello, John. How are you doing?
Well, after I spoke to you today, we had some excitement here.
That's good.
No, it's not good.
What
happened was I took Nancy out to get reading glasses. He had our eyes were tested a little bit back, and she needed reading glasses, so we went to order them today. So when we came out of the store, I didn't go come out with her. I went over to get a business card because I wanted to, I don't have the phone number of the place. So I got the business card, and when I went outside, there's Nancy sprawled on the ground.
Oh, no.
Yeah, what happened was there was a like half step. It wasn't a full step. It was like a half step, and she didn't notice it. She just didn't notice it. So when she took the half step, she fell to the left and fell on her hip, her left hip. So I got her home, and when she sat, there's no pain. It's when she stood up and put pressure on the hip, that's when she felt the pain. And because of that, she didn't want to go to the to the hospital because if she had broken her hip, there'd be, you know, excruciating pain all the time. So I'm going to ask for prayer for her when we when you finish teaching. She didn't.
Well, why don't we pray?
Okay, you can do it now. Yeah, I mean, she fell on her arm too, her hand mostly. There, it's fine. Everything else is fine, and her ankle and knee is fine. It's that left hip pest.
Did they give her an eye test or something, and then put drops in her eye or something?
No. She did that 2 weeks ago, and she came home because the place where they do the testing, their glasses are outrageously expensive. So we get them at Costco for – I have eye insurance, and they pay for the testing and all. But
that's good.
Costco, with no discount, is like a third the price of these I don't know what you call them. You know, but they have
the sharks. They advertise. Those who advertise a lot and have to spend your money so they can pay for more advertising. Something like that.
So the way it worked out was, I told her, don't get glasses there. Come back home, and we'll go to Costco. However, I looked at my insurance. And they give you $10 for the lens, big deal. But they give you a lot of money for the frame. So I went back, and for $55, I got real good reading glasses, which I got today. I went over them, holding them up so everybody can see them. And so while I was picking up the glasses, I told her, look, for $55, you can get reading glasses like mine. For $55. So she came with me to get the glasses. The only problem with these is the lens, or if you need a lot of magnification, the lenses are thick. And she doesn't need much magnification. I do. So they look a little, I don't know if you can see or not, but I guess you can't head on. So anyway, she ordered the glasses. It was $55. And then on the way out, that's what happened, Pastor Fred. Isn't that something in life? 1 minute, boom, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's no good at all. Father, we thank you for Nancy. We pray, Lord, that you might allow that hip not to swell up, but to heal quickly, and that the blood will do its work. We thank you, Lord, that by your stripes we're healed. And we can come before you and ask for healing. We can ask for the body to speed up the healing process, Lord, to take away the pain and the bruises. And we don't know why we fall and why we stumble, but we have angels that help us. And so have the angels come and make sure that there is no chips or bone fractures or anything, Lord. Just heal the whole hip and take away that pain and allow her to be able to walk and then to be able to put the weight on it without any pain. And then the other parts of the scratches, Lord, help them to heal quickly without any kind of infections. We trust you, Lord, because you are our healer. And then, Lord, those stripes that you took, stripes were things that were punishments. Anyone who, when they talked about 40 stripes or 39 stripes, or stripes were punishment.
Amen. It's true.
So you were punished. You were punished, Lord, for our health. What a wonderful Savior you are. Thank you so much. Help us to accept that, each one of us, and to understand that we don't have to have punishment. You took it all for us, and we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen, amen, Pastor Fred. Thank you. Thank you very much. And I have to confess, we all had a good laugh at your expense this morning, Pastor Fred.
Oh, that's good. That's good. A lot of people laugh at me.
I was promoting your teaching tonight, you know, to come and for the teaching, and I said that he teaches us leftovers. His leftovers right. He teaches us.
You're right. Absolutely true. Yeah. That's so true.
But I figure that it's like easy. In other words, you've already done it for Sunday. So it's not anything in addition for Monday.
It's never easy, John. Never easy, especially when I realize that half the time I speak, it just doesn't get through. And it doesn't make it, because when I ask for feedback, it's like I never said anything. Not that I'm worried about that, because I know the power of the gospel. But very few people retain what they hear. It's just as the Holy Spirit impresses upon them something or. For instance, I was asking for one of the first things I did on Sunday was, what's your favorite verse? Does anyone have a favorite verse? Not one person in the church gave me a favorite verse. And my six-year-old, Zavi, puts his hand up and says, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. It was amazing. And then other people at the back gave, a husband and wife gave their favorite verse, and then another lady. But it wasn't on their lips, it wasn't on their heart, a favorite verse. Well, you usually know people's favorite verse when you talk to them, but not everybody. And so it's like pulling teeth sometimes to get people to confess what they have on their heart or what they read. Or maybe it was just too sudden and too early, but I was talking about, and which I will speak about, is the Lord speaking to us. Not everybody confesses to the fact that they hear from God or that the Lord speaks to them. And the Lord speaks to us in different ways, and that's what I'll be talking about. So you want to open in prayer and we'll get started.
Yeah, yeah. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the power in your word, Lord. It does not return void. So we're asking, the Bible says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So we're asking that our spiritual ears would be open to hear what Pastor Fred is teaching, and that would have an impact on us. So thank you for the time he takes to study your word, because he knows it doesn't return void. And bless this time now that we have with him teaching your word. And whatever we do is always under the blood of the everlasting covenant that you made with us on Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Now, amen. Before you start, Pastor Fred, what is your favorite verse?
Psalm 32:8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you shall go. I will guide you with my eyes. In fact, I just made a study of it. I hadn't really studied it. I memorized it. It's spoken to King David, but I always took it from ever since I was a little boy. I took that verse as my own, and I would say to the Lord, I believe I'm hearing from you, but if I take the wrong step here, it'll be my fault, because I didn't hear you properly. But you develop that instructing and counseling, and where he guides you with his eyes. I do it with everything. I do it with everything, and especially as I've got older. But I think I did it throughout my life. Who I marry, or what jobs I went to, what country I went to, or what. And nobody's perfect. I'm a sinner, you know, saved by grace. And God speaks to us in different ways, but that particular verse was, I didn't realize it was the first of penitential psalms. The penitential psalms are Psalm 32, the first one, Psalm 35, Psalm 51, Psalm 102, Psalm 130, and Psalm 143. And that verse says, I will teach you, I will instruct you, which means to act with insight, to give insight, to prosper, to understand. That's what all that instruction means, that the Lord would do that, primarily meaning to be prudent. And I will instruct you and teach you, two different words. And the teach you was a verb meaning shoot, to throw, to pour, that is shooting with arrows. In other words, giving you comprehension, God shoots arrows of learning into us. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you shall go. I will guide you with mine eyes. That guide means to advise, to consult, to counsel. God counseled his servants in Psalm 16:7 to make plans or decisions. So I love that verse, and I can't stop thinking about it or saying about it whenever someone asks me about a favorite verse. Now give us yours, John.
Well, I got to give two verses to lead into it, all right?
That's okay.
All right, John 11, 25 and 26. This is at the resurrection of Lazarus. Jesus said,
all right.
I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And Martha saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. That's my favorite verse, John 11, 27.
There you are. It's lifting up the Lord Jesus. That's wonderful.
Yea, Lord, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world.
Amen. What a testimony. That's a wonderful verse to have day in and day out in your life. And so I recommend everyone to have a favorite. Everyone has favorite psalms and things like that, things they can maybe quote or not quote, but the Lord gives us these things. So the message that we're talking about is how to hear the voice of God, or how to know the voice of God. I was asked to speak on it. I don't think I made a very very good presentation, but first of all, we need to understand that the Lord speaks to everyone. The Lord speaks to everyone, and not everyone hears from God, but the Lord does speak to everyone, even the ungodly. In Genesis 3:8, Adam heard the voice of the Lord. It starts right from the beginning. He heard the voice of the Lord. Now, in those days, I don't know whether it was telepathy or was it actual voices or what, but because they were in a perfect situation, we know that in the resurrected body, it'll be different, I think, rather than having the physical body here. But I don't know. I'm not. And then the second time that we could look at where the Lord speaks is in Deuteronomy 4, 26 to 40. Let's open up our Bibles there. Deuteronomy 4. We won't read the whole thing, but it's the Lord reminding through Moses to the people that they were different, and that he said, let me just read from 33 to 36. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as you have heard, and live? Or hath God, let me get my glasses, or hath God essayed to go to and take another nation, a nation from the midst of other nations, by temptations, by signs, by wonders, and war, and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and in great terrors, according to all the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? So you have this Moses exhorting Israel to obedience, but reminding them that did ever people hear the voice of God speaking? And then there are other times, you know, in Revelation 3:20, it's very clear. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him. God does speak to us, but people find it hard to be able to listen or understand. And there are different ways that we hear the voice of God. Main one is through scriptures. That's no doubt whatsoever. Let me go to that in John 5. John 5, Jesus has just healed a man on the Sabbath, and everybody's upset. And he has something to say to them. And he's talking about the fact that he's basically, just before he goes into this talk about himself and his father, he lets them know that, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and that they that hear shall live. But then he talks about his testimony as you go in further in the verses in John 5. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Verse 32 of John 5, there is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that that witness which he witnesseth of me is true. You said, and then he said, verse, it talks about John, and he bore witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. John was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. You could, every time he says bear witness, could say speak. You can. These are the things that speak of me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness. So his works bear witness, speak about him. The Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And you have, and now listen to this, what he says to these people who are accusing him of healing someone on the Sabbath. You have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. And then he comes up with this, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. He's putting a real judgment to them, to say that you guys have been going through the Old Testament all your life. You were trained in it. You were brought up in it. You're belonging to the church, the synagogues and the temple. And he says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. I discovered this as I was going through studying about hearing the voice of God. Scriptures are they which testify, which speak of me. The scriptures speak of Jesus. When you read the scriptures, they'd been reading the scriptures all their life. They were Pharisees. They were Jews. They were followers of the Mosaic law. And he says, you better search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which speak of me. Scriptures, when we read them, should bring us to the Lord Jesus, not to just information. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from man. But I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. These are the people who are accusing him of healing on the Sabbath. And they want to kill him. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Telling him there in the flesh, Do not think that I will accuse you of the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. Now listen to this. For if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me. Now listen to this next word. For he wrote of me. So the Old Testament and the New Testament tell us and speak to us of Jesus. That's what the Bible is all about, the Lord Jesus Christ and his preeminence in our lives. Well, let's go further now to talk about how you hear the voice of God. Well, obviously, one is through the scriptures, but make sure that the scriptures you read lead you to Jesus. Ask him to show you that, not just to get information, not just to get something that you can tell someone else about. Ask him to show you Jesus, and you'll see it. You'll hear his voice because it's so clear. They are they which testify, which speak of me. So it's a wonderful thing that there's a difference in reading the scriptures and understanding that they take us to Jesus. They don't take us to our knowledge or our wonderful way of being able to share it with someone else to show how good we are or how knowledgeable we are. So, okay, let's go to this idea and thought that we have, that many seem to have a difficulty in the scriptures. The important thing, I think, to understand is that there are different ways the Lord speaks to us. And there was a, I just heard a testimony of a young black preacher who, in his youth, father abandoned them, I believe, but he heard the voice of God even before he was a Christian. And one of these stories, his mother tried to get him saved, and the preachers tried to get him saved, and he would go and they'd say, kneel down at the altar and get saved. And he would do it, and he would say, nobody's going to save me. And kind of resisted all the time. But then he would mouth it. And then after a while, when he got to be a teenager, I believe, the Lord said, don't just say it. Speak to me as if you mean it, when he was at the altar. And so it is important that people, not everyone comes to the Lord immediately. The Lord chases us many times and asks us to be real when we come to the altar for him. But now hearing the voice of God, his testimony, he was before he was saved. He was still going to church with his mother and stuff. But his buddies all wanted to go, and this is hearing the voice of God again. His buddies all wanted to go and party with this girl they just saw. And as they were going down the road, they came to two ways to go, either right or left. And his buddies and the girl that they were going to see, they had just seen her, she went left. She was a teenage girl, same age as they were. This man, this young boy, one of the four, heard this voice very strong in his spirit that said, go home, go home. And he didn't know who it was, but he knew he had to go home. His buddies all went down to the girl's place, and the father subsequently accused them of raping his daughter, and they all got 10 to 15 years. He could have been there, but the Lord was protecting him. And he became a preacher. He'd been a preacher for 20, 30 years now. Another time, when he was a Christian, he won a scholarship to college. He was the only one who had been to college in his family ever. And so after several years, he did very well. After, I think, was 2 years there, the Lord said to him, and he said he didn't hear it audibly. It was inside. The Lord said to him that he should leave school, go and work in a factory, marry after, get a job, and after a while, a month, a few months or a year, marry the girl that he wanted, that he was going with, and which he did. But it was a tough decision for him to do. But he learned to follow the voice of the Lord. And the voice, and he said, I was so happy. We lived in a trailer. We had nothing. And but the Lord, I was so happy for those years. The Lord, by following the Lord. Sometimes we're asked to make tough decisions. Other times we have to make split decisions. I was going, and I've told you this so many times. So, you know, sometimes the Lord will tell us to, if we hear the voice, we question, you know, whether it's the voice of the Lord, but we should stop questioning because God says he sent us his Holy Spirit who would teach us things. He also said that his word would speak to us and that we would understand things. And like if a father is going to be a good father like Abraham was, he taught his children about the Lord. Well, you don't need too much of you don't need an angel to come and tell you that the word is speaking to you. It's saying things like, I want you, if you're a father, if you're a husband, love your wife. If you're a father, you're going to teach your children like Abraham did. You don't need a lot of prompting on those things if we start to follow the word. But that's the voice of the Lord also because the Bible speaks to us. So we have this these promptings that the Lord gives us. And I've told you this before. I could give you dozens of them from New Guinea, and I'll repeat this one. I was going down a mountain trail, and it was going very fast in a blue Datsun pickup truck. And I was doing 40, 50 at least. And as I'm going down this dirt road, it's a steep decline of hundreds of feet going straight down the road. At the bottom was a river and a single-lane bridge. And I discovered that I didn't have any brakes. One of my brake lines had broken, and I had no brakes. The brakes flapped. And so I was deciding myself that I would jump into the river, which was another 300 or 400 foot drop from the bridge. But the Lord said, hit the bridge. And I know it was the Lord, because I'll tell you why. I went straight on the bridge. It was a single lane bridge, and it was approaching another vehicle that was coming from the other side, going very slow, with at least 14 to 20 people on it. And the Lord stopped my vehicle without me touching the brakes. He skidded within inches of the other car. That's listening to the voice of the Lord. I could have jumped into the river and died, because it was an awful long jump. But when so often there are ways in which the Lord speaks to us, we get impressions and we get... But the Bible makes it very clear, as it says in Revelation 3:20, if any man hear my voice, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. A great concern for all of Christians, for all Christians, is their individual ability to hear from God. Some claim to hear God's voice audibly or inside their head, while others say they never hear from God. And that's I don't think that's true. I think it's just a matter of faith, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But God is always trying to communicate with us, especially through his word. God desires to give wisdom and knowledge of his will. He desires to communicate love, encouragement, comfort, understanding, also correction. There's two or three main ways God speaks to us: through his word, the Bible, and then through inner witness of the Holy Spirit. Also, God speaks to us through preaching of the word and reading of inspirational books. The inward witness is for us an important spiritual tool which we need to develop. Many times in life, we may escape tragedy or loss because something inside did not feel right. Or in other times, a Christian may have a feeling to pray for someone, only to discover that when they were miraculously delivered from a wreck or other tragedy. Other times we find our spirit giving us a check about a business situation or a purchase, telling us not to go into it. You don't get a good feeling about it. And they found that if they went against that check, they lost a lot of money. Spiritual discernment, or following inward witness. An inward witness is something we practice and develop. At first, we start by trial and error. But discernment grows. The Holy Spirit's voice becomes a general practice in everything. However, if we ignore those promptings, we get less and less of them. And so there is this way that God speaks to us through his word, through his Holy Spirit, through our different personalities. He speaks to us inwardly. Because of personality differences, some Christians find they feel God's guidance of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Others see what God wants them to do. And some hear God speaking to them. The hearing is either an inaudible voice or on the inside. Like I could give you illustrations from Daniel, for instance. Daniel, when he saw all his visions, and when they knew that the Spirit of the Lord was in him, in Daniel 5:14, it said, the king said to him, "I've heard of you that the spirit of the gods, small g, is in you." And then in Daniel 7:15, "I was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body." So he got this impression in his spirit. "And the visions of my head troubled me." And then in Daniel 7:28, "My thoughts," or "my cogitations, much troubled me." So that was in his mind. That's in his body, mind, and soul, that we have his mind, his soul. And in 8:27 of Daniel, it says, "I fainted and was sick certain days." So it really affected him. But you and I know that in John 7:37-38, the Lord Jesus cried in the at the temple. He said, "Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water," out of your heart. It's the belly would be the lower part of the abdomen. Many people say that they feel the sense of the spirit in that area of their body. But so we hear, or we read the scriptures, or we feel something inside from the Holy Spirit. These three senses are not necessarily spectacular, but they give us a means of communication from the Holy Spirit. We have to believe that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And the word speaks to us, and the Holy Spirit speaks to us through his word. And we have to believe it and follow it. There's also supernatural and spectacular ways in which God also communicates. He may send an angel to appear with a message. He could certainly speak to you audibly. Or a lot of the times when these men of God received words from God, the people round about them didn't hear it, but they shook and they knew that something was going on. Paul and Daniel said the same thing. There are also times that a person may be in a trance or see a vision of the future, like Peter did when he was when he saw all those unclean animals come down in a trance. I have sometimes we have occasional dreams, and things are revealed to us, and some people have the gift of dreams. And then there's other areas of discernment we need to develop when learning to hear from God. But the thing is to know the timing of it. Quite often, the Lord will call you when you're young, especially to a ministry, and it may take years for it to develop. And if you jump ahead of him, it can really hurt you, especially in the career or ministry for God, which can come years before. But there's different ways that the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and we need to start to obey. So do I hear the voice of God? Admit it and begin to hear and to obey. Understand that you can get God's voice, Jesus, and that the Bible will teach you about Jesus, as we read in John 5. But we walk by faith and not by sight. So you have an ear, you have a mind, and a spirit inside your body, inside your belly, inside your heart. And God can speak to you through his word. He speaks to you through his Holy Spirit, who is here alive on earth. And then, so we have in Romans 10:20 and Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Romans 12:2, the renewing of your mind. You learn the acceptable and perfect will of God. So what is God's perfect will for you? You transform your mind by the word of God and by learning God. And then you also understand that in Job 32:8, the Bible makes it very clear that there is a spirit within a man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives understanding. You could go to Exodus 4:15, where you get inspiration defined when Moses was complaining to God that he couldn't go to see Pharaoh because he couldn't speak. And the Lord said, I'll put my words in your brother's mouth. Aaron can speak. And that's what the Holy Spirit does to us. You'll find that in Exodus 4:15 and 16. That's a kind of a definition of inspiration. So we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by what is inside, what is controlled by God's word, the Bible. How do I know it? What does the Bible say? That's what I say. And what does Jesus speak to me about in the Bible? And what is my spirit receiving from the Holy Spirit? So it's faith. And I have to question at times, is it my mind or is it my flesh or is it my faith? And I'll finish off with this. There was a lady, she's written a little pamphlet on Is That You, God? She gives five pointers that she says, hearing God's voice. One, does what I am hearing line up with scriptures? Romans 12:2. Secondly, is it consistent with God's character? Galatians 5:22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith. That's the character of God. Is it, third thing, is it being confirmed with or through messages I am hearing at church or studying in my quiet time? John 10, 3 and 4, where the Lord Jesus says he's the shepherd. He is the shepherd of the sheep. My sheep hear my voice, he says. My sheep hear my voice. You can hear the voice of the Lord Jesus daily. Then it says, is it beyond me? Is it a step of faith? Hebrews 11, for without faith it is impossible to please God. We must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Try to develop a... now, ministry is one thing, John, yours is, but for the average Christian, they need to try to develop this idea that God speaks to them, that the Holy Spirit speaks to them, that they read the scriptures, and those scriptures have meaning for them. And so the fifth point is, would it please God? In hearing God's voice, would it please God when he asks me to do something? He asks us to speak to someone. He asks us to pay for something for someone. Or whatever he asks, we do. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you speak to us, Lord. Thank you that your word makes it obvious that the Word teaches us and speaks to us about Jesus, and that everything that we read in the Word will lead us to Jesus, will lead us to what we need to do, make choices in life, help us with the yeses and the noes, and should I go there, should I not, should I be involved in this, or should I... You're the one, Lord, that guide and teach and control, and we thank you for that. Thank you for the wonderful way which you teach us and instruct us through your Word, through your Holy Spirit. You have given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, and we're not short of anything. And the victory, what is the victory that overcomes the world? Even our faith. You've given to us faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father. We bless you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you, John.
Amen, Pastor Fred. Thank you. Thank you. Very, very nice teaching. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Let's, I guess we'll have prayer for you, Pastor Fred.
Thank you. Thank you. My daughter is facing a serious situation, so you might pray for her.
Okay, Katie. All right.
Yeah.
And it's what she's going for an MRI?
Tomorrow, yeah. Tomorrow, yeah. And the head of the hospital will be reading it, and we're praying that he'll not see a hole in her colon.
Okay. Father, we have Katie before you, Lord, and we're asking in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fred, what's coming to mind, did you and maybe some others lay hands on her?
Yep.
And
yep.
Pray.
Yep.
You laid hands and prayed over her.
Yes, we did.
Okay. So, Lord, yes, that's been accomplished, and we stand with that prayer, Lord. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So, Lord, we are in one accord with that prayer. And we're asking, just like Pastor Fred said, the MRI will be clear. The MRI will be clear, Lord, and that she will recover fast from, I guess, like an infection that was there. She will recover real, real quickly, Lord. Her health will come back. And Lord, I know that she loves you. And I pray that this would bring her closer to you, Lord. And also, Lord, I thank you for Pastor Fred, as he told me about the stand he took against the Babylonian doctors. And it turned out to be correct, Lord. What he did was absolutely of you. Amen, Pastor Fred?
Amen, amen, amen.
Yeah. Yeah, so we want to thank you. That because of you, he had the courage. I think there was a hold with several doctors there. They were demanding something unreasonable to be done. Fred had the unction from you, and he stood his ground, and he was absolutely 100% right. So we thank you that Katie didn't have to endure what those doctors had planned for her. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. And so that she will... recover quickly now. He'll recover quickly. Bless Pastor Fred and everything he does. Bless his church, Lord. I pray in his church that the ears of the people will be opened, Lord. And again, that verse, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And that they would have ears, spiritual ears to hear. And they would hear what the Spirit, through Pastor Fred, is saying to that church, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. So bless him. Continue to bless him with wonderful, sort of like teaching sermons, I would call it, Lord, for that church to be greatly blessed. Bless his entire family, Lord. Bless his finances. Greatly bless his finances, Lord. And thank you for the opportunity to have Pastor Fred here on Monday night's teaching, the leftovers. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Lord bless.
Okay, I want to get in touch with you tomorrow, all right?
All righty. Thank you so much. Okay. For everybody. Lord.
All right. Bye now. Bye. All right. Well, Sister Kathy, any comments? Sister Kathy? You might be muted. All right. Sister Sharon?
Can you hear me?
Now I hear you.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think that was his best one ever. That was so good.
Yeah. Now, you were mentioning Sunday all these sermons you heard, right?
Yep.
Now look what happened on Monday.
Yeah, and absolutely same scenario. And I want to share real quick, because I did share, too, about what the Lord told me Sunday morning and last week. And today, I got a call from a lady, and exactly what the Lord told me last Sunday morning was for her and her brother and her mom and her dad. And I'm like, I mean, I know it's a blanket declaration for everybody, but specifically it was for these four people. And that was just divine.
Wow. Wow.
And that lines up with what Pastor Fred was saying, how God talks to us inwardly, verbally, just spiritually discerned. It's just awesome.
Yes.
Amen. Amen, Sister Kathy. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. Sister Sharon, how are you today now after the treatment?
Well, sore, but I'm okay. I really was able to lay back here and enjoy what Pastor Fred was teaching. And a basic point being that if you have ears, you can hear. And that's what we need to look at, that when we're learning stuff or reading the scriptures or just whatever, that those who have ears, let them hear and stuff. And I've been hearing and seeing this a lot here the last few days too, just those simple words. And it's such a blessing. It really truly is. And I was looking forward to Pastor Fred coming on tonight for a couple of days, and I'm just glad that he was able to get through with that, especially with the weather that they're having out there. And so that we all could use our ears and we could hear.
Amen. Amen. Very important to have spiritual ears, that what we're hearing spiritually gets into our inner man.
Yes, there's just so much that's going on, and that if we're not listening and listening to what God wants us to hear, then why listen? Why bother?
One thing that bothers me, and I have to kind of get, it's a red button issue with me. It's like I'll teach something, or I'll have said something on the, like on a radio show, things like that. And I'll get an email, and someone will say, I disagree with you said on this radio show. And they'll like put a quote in. And I didn't say that. I wasn't even close to that. So how can you be listening to me and be so far off?
Right.
About what I said.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. It's like, I'm in a conversation with you, Sister Sharon, right?
Right.
And I said that I am against such and such.
Right.
Not you. I shouldn't say you. I'm in discussion with someone. And they tell you that I said I am for such and such. And you are like, wow, he said that. And you call me, contact me, email me and say, you were on this radio show and you said this when I didn't say that. I mean, so that's what really, how can you be, if I say something like negative, I didn't do that, how can they say he said he did it? Is that
right?
Is that made up? I mean, is that just to, like, I don't know what the word is, condemn me or something? How can you be so far off?
Right. Yeah, no, I know what you're saying, that it's just like a group or just a few people or whatever are just trying to have their say over what you're saying.
Right. Right. Right.
But actually, so, Chaplain, there's a, I don't want to say it's a mental illness, but it is a nasty spirit that's a scrambler. And you may say, gee, golly, your hair looks great. And they don't hear that. They hear you say, your hair has looked horrible forever. And so they just scramble up. They alter what, they don't hear what is really being said. And I don't know what the cause of that is, but it, there are a lot of people. There was one Jewish lady we had in the group that was exactly that way. She just, whatever you say, she would reverse it and have heard. And honestly, she did hear it like she thought she heard it. So I don't understand it.
I would say, Sister Kathy, it has to be a lying spirit.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
You know?
Yep.
I mean, how could you be so far off like that? But anyways, all right. Let's go here. And we have Paula Jean. Any comments, Paula Jean?
Well, I can only say that I'm with Kathy. That was the best one yet for me. And interestingly enough, I heard from the Lord while I was listening to Pastor Fred, and I made a phone call in response to the Lord's instruction. And I know it was the right thing to do. And I was very blessed to have had that opportunity. Because who knows if I'd been paying attention if I hadn't been listening to Pastor Fred. You just don't know. You say, thank you, Father, for making your voice clear to me when I needed to hear it. And just know that whenever he does that, it's him doing it, because it's by his grace that we do hear. And I'm so grateful that Fred was right there, Pastor Fred was right there reminding us of the importance of it, of the blessing of it, and the importance to honor and respond when he does let us hear his voice. So
I can remember, Paula Jean, when I was mm-hmm. preaching in Kenya with Pastor Zephaniah, uh-huh. and while I was preaching, I was getting close to the end. And so while I was preaching, I'm preaching, and at the same time, I'm hearing. And I heard what turned out to be the Lord giving me a Bible verse, and it's Revelation 5:9. But thou art slain, and has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. And that revolutionized my preaching. Every time now, when I'm preaching, I use that verse. I use that verse because it tells the people in heaven tell us how they got there.
My.
And that came while I was preaching. I wasn't even thinking of that word. And it came in, and it I won't say it revolutionized my preaching, but it did something to it. That verse did something, because I'll tell the people when I'm preaching, you don't have to believe me, what I just said. Here's what the people in heaven said and how they got there. So I quote that verse, and it's had a tremendous impact. They all love it. All Jamil loves it. All the pastors we work with love it. Pastor Zephaniah loves it. And that came when I was preaching in Kenya. It just came into my mind. Isn't that nice?
Well, that's where he wanted it planted too. In other words, you got started there with that scripture. And what I find very powerful is that when he does give us a scripture, we remember it.
Yes. Yes.
It stays with us.
Yes. Yes. And then what was I going to say? When I was really intense with the rabbis and the anti-missionaries, they always seemed to be able to put a twist on scripture to not to me, but to listeners that don't really know the word, how to neutralize like what I was saying.
Didn't have, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I was praying to the Lord.
Yeah.
And I was saying, Lord, there's got to be some scripture that is irrefutable, that they can't twist it. They can't turn it around and turn it so there's something that they cannot twist the truth from. Would you please show me? Now, I don't know how long after this happened. I don't know. I don't think it was like years later. I know that. I don't know if it was like the next day, a week, a month, you know, but it was sometime fairly shortly after I prayed that prayer. So it must have been about 2 or 3 in the morning. All of a sudden, I'm wide awake, and going through my mind is throne, throne, throne. And then I fell back to sleep. So in the morning, as soon as I can, I went through the concordance for every word of throne. And I looked every place in the Bible where the word throne is. And lo and behold, there's the connection with Zechariah 6:11-13 with Revelation, with Ezekiel 43:7. And I put the two together. And there was the irrefutable proof that they could not twist, get around, deny with those that series of scriptures, that the Messiah of Israel and the God of Israel were one and the same. So that I know. I prayed. I asked the Lord. Next thing I know, I have this. I wake up in the morning, and I several times in my mind I heard throne, 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 throne. Went back to sleep. Did the research, and there it was. And that is absolute irrefutable proof. They can't, because I then used it against them. And that's, I've told you this many times, but once I laid those scriptures on them, Zechariah 6:11-13 and Ezekiel 43, it's actually verse 7, but you can use the lead into it. It's very important. They refused then to talk to me. They told everybody, don't talk to them. And that was it. That was it.
Yeah.
So I know the Lord gave, that's how the Lord gave it to me in my sleep.
He woke me up.
I wasn't sleeping when he gave it to me, but he woke me up out of my sleep. And all I heard was throne, throne, throne.
Well, that also goes along with the instructions to seek and search things out in the scripture. He gave you the clues, and then you shared with us today what you did with that throne, throne, throne clue, and you sought it out in scripture. And then as you were doing that, I am sure he really highlighted the ones that belong together.
Well, like
he
said, I went through the concordance there, and I went through every verse with throne. And whatever order that comes up with, Ezekiel is before Zechariah. And then I saw that, and then I got to Zechariah 6, and I go, whoa, there's the connection. There's the connection as I was going through the scriptures.
So powerful.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes. And then we have Sister Rita.
Hello, Chaplain John. And I was greatly blessed by Pastor Fred's teaching tonight.
Amen. Amen. Now, see, everybody here had ears to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Amen.
All right. And then we thank you, Sister Rita. Then we have Gigi and Randy.
Yes. Well, I would agree with everyone else. I really like the little booklet that he was reading out of to kind of give you some guidance. And I always enjoy what he has to say, but I think I agree with everyone else. This was really special, very, very encouraging. And I would say not only encouraging, but kind of teaching direction is what I would say. Directing us to do these things, which I thought was really good. It's a blessing.
Amen. 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 Okay. Well, it was a good night. You were feasting on the word, and now we can pray, right?
Right.
Okay. Let's get over here. And Sister Kathy, it looks like you're first up for prayer. Oh, I want to give a testimony today. Sister Kathy, do you remember this morning Michael came into the room?
Right.
And we talked about a meeting at 11 a.m. at a restaurant. Did you hear that? Yeah. Okay. So we met. And who was there but Lee? Now, of course, you remember Lee.
Lee's son-in-law.
Right. And we had I don't know what time we finished, after one. And there was another man that came who was very, very close with Lee. So I had told him, Michael wanted me to tell him about meeting Lee at the restaurant and the things that happened, because they were very good. Very good. Mm-hmm. Oh, and I gave him a copy of When Jesus Set You Free, the book.
Yeah.
And it blew me away. He said, he called him Dad. He said, Dad, he showed that to me. He was showing everybody your book.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what he said. That's what he said. Yeah. And then he showed the Brokenhearted brochure, too. So apparently he was very touched by it, Sister Kathy.
That is awesome.
So we spent quite a bit of time. He was really interested in the ministry, winning imams and what had happened, what was going on in Pakistan and Kenya and Tanzania and that. So it was really, really good. And then at the end, I prayed for him for the healing of his broken heart. And I gave him my business card and I said, you know, I know that your mother-in-law is taking this hard and your wife, but if they feel that they need a prayer, please be free to give me a call. And what I did was I prayed over him for 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And then at the end, it says, whereby comfort ye one another with these words. So I said, see, that 1 Corinthians chapter 4 with the rapture, the blessed hope, is to comfort everyone that you will be reunited with your father. And he refers to him as his father. So he loved it. He said, thank you very much. Thank you very much. So the waitress, I very seldom comment about a waitress's waiting on you. And this was a Mexican, a young Mexican, I would say in her late 20s, maybe in her early 30s. But there was something special about her. It's hard. I mean, how can I tell you a waitress waiting on us was a special waitress? You know, I can't put it in words.
Right.
But she was like a talented waitress. So when I didn't see her, and I left the brochure on the table on top of the broken hearted one on top of a glass. So as I went out, I ran into her And I complimented her. I left a nice tip also. And I complimented her about being a waitress. I said, you have like a knack, like a talent as a waitress. And she said, oh, thank you. Thank you very much. And I said, the man that was sitting next to me, did you notice him? And she said, yes. And I said, well, his father has just recently passed away. And we were there meeting with him. And I said, I'm a minister of the gospel, and but he has a broken heart. She goes, oh, my mother just passed away and my grandmother just passed away and I have such a broken heart. And I said, well, I left the brochure right on the table.
Goodness.
It's about Jesus Christ heals the brokenhearted. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. So I left and Michael was still there. Trey had already left. Michael was still there with Curtis. So we talked later. And Michael said, you had spoken to that waitress. And I said, about the broken heart. I said, yeah. Well, I started to talk to her too. And he said, I had a wonderful conversation. And there was the brochure, you know, laying on the table there. And she took it and she was so, oh, he said, would you want it in Spanish? Because I didn't have Spanish with me, but Michael did. So she said, oh, yes, I'd like it in both. So Michael says, I gave her a Spanish brochure.
Well, that is so neat.
And then I mentioned to him, Michael, did you notice her as a waitress, how she was like special? He said, yeah, yeah. He said her timing was perfect, the way she came to the table and what she said and giving like you an extra iced tea and, you know, asking if anybody would want this. And she went and got it. But he said it was her demeanor and her timing was perfect.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice?
It is. That is so nice. And that makes an event special when you don't have to chase them down and beg them and they forget. So there is a knack. There is a hospitality spirit, and she
right.
definitely has it.
Oh, she definitely had it. So Michael said something interesting. He said, yeah, she could be a top-end waitress. That's the term he used. Yeah, she could be a top-end waitress.
Well, speaking of Dreammaker Legacy, are they going to keep that foundation open, or do you know?
They're going to do their best, yes.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yes. Yes. So,
well,
they're questioning about why he died when he was so...
Me too.
Yeah. You know, Sister Kathy, I don't question that anymore, and I'll tell you why. And everybody, what if the Lord told him, I'll make something up, don't drive late, go to a motel and stay for the night, and he didn't listen? And I'm not saying he's a bad sinner, but maybe the Lord warned him. You know what I mean? And he didn't realize.
Yeah, you always wonder. But we know this, good's going to come from it. And God doesn't waste our suffering, nor does he needlessly afflict the sons of men. But there are judgment deaths that it's like, you got ahead of me or whatever. I don't know. You know, I don't want to say that. But there are deaths that.
Right, Sister Kathy, finish. Finish. Go ahead. Please finish.
That if you had followed the unction of the Holy Spirit and didn't go there, then it, or did go somewhere or stopped along the road to do something, things would have been, let me just say this. There was and it was in Texas too. There was a girl that was, her husband was driving. He was tired and it was like, let me pull over and let me drive the rest of the way. And the man said, no, we're almost home. There's no sense in doing that. I'm not that tired. I can make it. No, no, no. Pull over and let me drive. And so he did. They changed and she got in the driver's seat and he got over in the other one. And then they hadn't gone a mile down the road and a car backed into the highway and she plowed into it. Now, this was her reasoning. The Lord had us stop. Because if he'd have been in the driver's seat, he would have been killed because I'm smaller. I just got beat up real bad, but I didn't die, but he would have. And my logic was, if y'all hadn't have stopped, you'd have been past that place before the car pulled out. So whoever, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I'm right. I don't know, whatever. But my logic was, she insisted on him stopping. It took that amount of time. They'd have been past that trauma point if he hadn't have stopped. So you just never know. We won't know till we get to heaven, and when we do, it won't really matter then.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember the time I was driving from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, to my dad's house near Albany, New York, and I had all three kids with me, the boys. Rachel wasn't with me. I had all three boys with me. Now, of course, they were very young. So I was driving on, I was in New York on, I think it's Interstate 84, and it was kind of late at night, and I had to use the men's room. So I stopped, and I had to leave. The kids were young, and I wasn't going to be that long. But I told my son, John, I said, if anybody comes to the car or anything, you beep the horn. You know, just keep beeping the horn and I'll be out. He said, okay. So I get to the door to go into the men's room there in that rest area, and the hair stood up on the back of my neck. And I got this really bad, like the Lord was telling me, don't go in there.
Yeah.
And I went, pushed through the door and I went in. And who was on the other side of the door but three homosexuals?
Oh, my goodness.
And I said, Lord, I should have listened to you.
Yeah. Could have spared yourself some misery.
I figured for sure. Oh, they were definitely homosexuals. And they were bad news. So here I'm all set, ready to go to fight my way out of there. That's what I figured I was going to have to do. So I had the door. I had opened the door and it had closed behind me. And there I am staring at those three. And I kind of reached back and I got the door. I didn't turn my back to them. And I went out. So I went to the, I had a van. I went back to the van and my son said to me, Dad, you just left. When I said, don't worry about it, son. Don't worry about it. So here's the story about this. Somehow, about a month, two, 3 months later, I'm reading in the news. I'm sure it was reading in the news where New York State had to close that rest area because there was so much violence there, like I had encountered. There was so many muggings and all this stuff going on that they actually closed it. That's how bad that place was. And then I said, Lord, thank you for warning me. And
yes.
I said, may I never do that again. May I listen to you.
Exactly.
He warned me not to go in there.
Yep. And if you hadn't have been on your A game, you would have just not been paying attention as much and would have just plowed on in and not had your escape. Wait, was it you that was talking about Nancy? Y'all had switched driving or you were going to switch driving?
Oh, yeah, that's another time. Oh, my. I was driving home from a Cops for Christ event we had in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And it was at a very nice resort in Amish country in Lancaster. And on the way home, I was really, really tired. I wasn't that far from home, but really, really tired. So I said to her, I had just gotten off one interstate onto another one. And I said, Nancy, I'm really, really tired. I said, would you drive? And she said, yeah. So I pulled over, and when I pulled over to the side of the road, I opened the door to get out. And when I opened the door to get out, my head turned to the left and across the interstate, and a car coming by, lights had shined on someone running across the interstate right at me. And I thought it was hallucinating. I didn't hear any sound. I didn't. All I saw was this man running. So I said to her, move over. So she moved over. And I sat down in the car, back in the car, closed the door, and took off. Now, what she did was she, for some reason, had turned around and looked at the back window. I didn't say anything to her. And you have, you know, the lights at night. You got the rear lights.
Right.
She could see his face right at the rear window.
Oh, my gosh.
And she screamed.
That is so scary.
She screamed, Mr. Kathy. Nancy screamed when she saw it. And she said, what's going on? What's going on? So I told her what happened. And I said, when I told you to move over, why did you do it? Because you were going to replace me in the seat. And I was going to walk around the back of the car to the other side. If I did that, he would have been all over me. I would have never seen him. He would have been on top of me. And I had never seen him. So
he drove off with your car.
So he said to me, you said it with such authority. But I didn't realize I said it with such authority. You know what I mean?
Mm. Yes, yes.
Yeah, so she screamed because she could see his face in the red reflection.
Wow.
In the mirror. So the next, the meeting for Cops for Christ was like a 3-day event. And I didn't stay overnight because we weren't that far from the hotel, the conference center. So I came back the next night, and one of the brothers came up to me afterwards. He said, did you get home all right? Are you all right? And I said, yeah. He said, because I got all the, after you left, he said, this dread came over me about you.
Oh, man.
And I got together with all the brothers and we prayed for your protection. So then I told him what happened. I told him what happened.
See, that is power right there. If they had just said, oh, that's nothing. We don't need to pray. You know, I'm just telling you, we got to obey and we got to do it when the Lord tells us.
Right.
Because lives depend on it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That is amazing.
But see, here's the thing about this. It wasn't like a big housing divisions on the sides of the road or a city. This was country. This was like, what was he doing there?
He was waiting for a patsy is what he was waiting on, and he almost got one.
Sister Kathy, it was like midnight. And there was the only way I saw him was the headlights of the cars. It's no street. There was no big street lights or no big population center. What was he doing there? He didn't say, hey, buddy, can you help me? Can you help me here? My car broke down. He didn't say nothing, not a word. It was dead silence. I thought I was seeing things but this one happened. That's the gospel truth of how the Lord protected me.
It's amazing. So wonderful.
Now, hang on here. I'm looking and I see, is this Michael from New Jersey? Yes. Hello? Okay. And we have Gigi and Randy. Yes. Hello, Gigi and Randy.
Yes.
Yes, we're here. Randy was answering too. I'm not sure what you wanted us to do at this point.
Hang on here. Michael, if you want to call in, you know, please feel free. Otherwise, if you just want to be here, that's fine. That's fine. I don't want to.
Yeah, no, John, can you hear me?
Oh, clearly.
Oh, good. Hey, you know, when you said about the Cops for Christ meeting.
Yes.
It just brought back to mind, there was a man that went to our church there in New York that was very involved in that. Did you know Jerry Francis?
Of course, yes.
Yeah, he was, I don't even know if he's still alive, but.
He was quite a bit older than me, So yeah. I would say he's probably passed on to be with the Lord.
He went to, he was a neat man. He was a very, he prayed a lot. He was continually praying. Anyway,
what church was this?
It was in Staten Island, New York. I don't really want to get into all that right now, but
maybe
we could talk some other time, John, about something did happen to me yesterday, and I need prayer. I want to also speak to you about it, John. Anyway,
well,
it's kind of an unspoken request.
Yeah, you can email me, and we can set up a time to talk. All right.
Okay.
Do you have Do you have my email?
I have your. Yeah, I have a few of your ways to get you. You've given to me. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right.
I don't really do.
So, do you need prayer right now?
Yeah, I do. I was involved in like a kind of a situation where I was backing up my car and a man said that I hit him in the parking lot and he was laying there. And I'm not sure how much of it was a true injury or, you know, the man I think might be looking to like sue me or something. So, you know. People are looking for money, easy ways these days.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, Father, we bring this incident before you. And Lord, you hate, you literally hate any type of activity like this, Lord. Lying, stealing, cheating. You are such an honest God. Everything you do is honest. So, Lord, I'm asking that you protect Michael with this. The truth come out, Lord. Maybe some witnesses will come forward that nothing happened, Lord. But, Michael, was this in a parking lot?
Yes, and there was a camera there.
That's what I was going to say.
The police officer gave me a card with the case number and that I could call in maybe in a couple of days. Get the report, the police report.
Because that was going through my mind. Lord, so I pray that this camera would exonerate him, Lord, and that he would not be subject to all this legal stuff, Lord, for suing and insurance and everything else. So we put this in your hands, Lord. Give Michael peace, great peace about it, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, John. I appreciate that.
Can I pray too, Chaplain?
Please.
Sure.
Yes.
Okay.
I'd like to.
Thank you. All right. Lord, we lift up Brother Michael right now. And Lord, the heaviness in his spirit is just so normal and natural after an incident like that. And so we do thank you that he will be vindicated. And we do thank you that he will sleep well tonight and just not even have any dread and anxiety about it. And we pray for this man, Lord, that thought this is a good idea to scam somebody, and it's an age-old con, but we pray for him, Lord. Let him find an honest way to make money or at least come clean and confess that he was just faking it. So, Lord, just thank you that Michael found his way to Chaplain John to get comfort and get peace and to get rest from this trauma, Lord. And just thank you for Brother Michael calling in. Thank you for Chaplain John being here. And thank you that all it took for them to be knowing each other, to come together at just this point, for the point that Michael needs help and comfort and assistance. And thank you for everyone agreeing on the line right now that this will work out together for Michael's good and this perpetrator's good. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you so much.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Okay, Mike.
Thank you.
All right. So I'll expect your email. All right.
Call. All right. Yeah. Okay.
God bless you, man.
You too.
All right. Back to Gigi and Randy. It's open to you. Any type of testimony, or if you'd like to pray, whatever you feel led to do.
Well, I won't go into any details, but it was interesting how Randy was traveling in kind of a dangerous place overseas. And I was in a home fellowship, and it was interesting because the people in this home fellowship, they were praying in kind of an unusual way for Randy. And it turned out it was dangerous. What was going on was dangerous. And it was really interesting because the Lord saved him out of a very dangerous situation. It was in Africa. And it was so interesting because they got together and they said, we're praying so that his job will change so he doesn't have to go to these places. It was really interesting. They were really on it. And they prayed, and he did have a job change, which was totally unexpected. Normally, they would have to travel. And he didn't have to do that anymore. So it was like it was something that was double. God protected him. And then it was really cute because I didn't really feel that. I mean, I didn't like it, but they were on it so that they prayed a solution, which I thought was it was pretty incredible. So anyway, I want to thank God for that.
Okay.
Yeah, they went above and beyond, and God answered their prayers, which was really sweet. So, yeah, I'd like to pray for this man that just called in too.
Sure, Michael.
Yeah. So, Lord, we just ask you, first of all, you know exactly what's going on and why these things are happening. But I want to pray a special prayer over this man, Michael, that you would comfort him and you would put a hedge of protection around him, and that somehow, some way, Lord, that you would work this out. And as I agree with what Kathy was praying for the person that perpetuated this, and that person, that he would be convicted for his benefit, Lord. It's not good for him either. But I just want to pray a special prayer of protection over Michael, and that you would, it's very disconcerting to have something like that happen. And so we pray that the truth would come out. But I would just want to pray protection over his heart and his mind and his spirit, man, and that you would comfort him. And especially tonight as he's going to sleep, please comfort him. Please show him that you are present with him and that you are protecting him and watching over him. And so I just want to thank you that he called in, just exactly what Kathy said. So that was a good thing for all of us to be able to agree and pray for him. And so we thank you that he did call in, and that you would bless him and you would protect him and you would give him great peace, and that you would work out all the details that need to be worked out on his behalf, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.
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 Amen. And Sister Rita is here. Hello, Rita.
Hello, Chaplain John. I would like to pray, and not necessarily for Michael, but other things.
Sure.
But I'll pray for Michael, too. Okay. Father in heaven, I give you thanks. I give you thanks, Father, for sending your son down to die for us on the cross that we may have life. And I give you thanks, Father, for the love that you have shown to me, how you have provided water, food, and housing, Father. And Father, you are worthy to be praised. Father, I pray for this Michael, and that you will, I agree with all the prayers that have been said about Michael. I pray that you would comfort his heart now and that you would give him comfort his heart to where he would be able to have a good night's sleep, Father, and that the truth of whatever happened tonight will be shown on that tape that is on that camera in where it happened in that store, outside of the store. So I pray that right now that you would comfort his heart and help him to calm down. And I pray for this man that if the man is doing something wrong, that you would convict his heart of what he is doing, Father, and that you will, I pray for the salvation of this man's soul, Father, and that you will stop him from doing harm to Michael financially, Father, and that you will, and if the man is harmed, is hurt in any way by Michael bumping into him, that you would heal this man, Father. But you know what happened, Father, and I pray and ask, Father, that the truth would come out in a short period of time, Father. And okay, Father, I pray, I give you thanks, Father, for President Trump, that you have allowed him to be the next president of the United States. I pray, Father, that you will guide and direct him in the direction that you would want him to go. I pray that you will bless him and him, his wife and children and grandchildren, and that you would protect him and his family from any harm that the wicked people in Washington, D.C. has planned for him, and that you would put a stumbling block in these people's ways to where they would do him no harm, Father. And I pray that January 20th will be a peaceful and calm day for President Trump, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, I pray for America. I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in America, Father. I pray for mercy for us, Father. And I also, Father, pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Israel. And I pray for the Jews that are in Israel, Father, that they will come to your Son as their Savior, and that the country would turn over, instead of being a secular country, Father, but it be a God-fearing country for you and your Son. And I pray, Father, that you'll protect the IDF, and I pray for the salvation of every soldier in the IDF. And I also pray that you will put a hedge of protection around Netanyahu, that you would guide him and direct him in all that he says and does, and that he will lead Israel in the direction that you want him to, Father. Strengthen and encourage him and his family, Father. And I also pray this for Chaplain John, Father, that you will encourage him and his family, and that you would also guide him and direct him in all in what he does and what he writes, that it would be in the direction, Father, that you would want him to go, and bless and anoint the brochures and the books that he has written, that many souls will come to know your Son as their Savior, and that you would also and many hearts would be healed, Father. And Father, I ask that you would also bless and help Chaplain John with his finances.
Thank you. Amen.
And Father, I pray for Pastor Fred's daughter, Katie. Katie. Okay. Katie. I pray whatever is wrong with her colon, Father, that you would heal it and that you will strengthen her heart and comfort her heart, Father. Help her, Father, as she goes through this with her colon. And I ask that you would also bless Pastor Fred and bless his church and guide and direct Pastor Fred, Father, in everything that he does and what he says. And Father, I pray that you would bless everyone that is online and in the chat room. I ask, Father, that if anybody is lukewarm to you, that you would convict their hearts and that they will embrace you and your son with all their whole heart, soul, and mind, Father. Strengthen and encourage everyone, Father, that is online and in the chat room, Father. For I pray this in the holy and glorious name of my Lord and my Savior and my God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Again, thank you very much for those prayers. Wonderful, wonderful prayers and testimony tonight. Amen. 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 So, yes, thank you, Sister Rita. Well, we're quickly running out of time here, and we got about 10 minutes left. So, Sister Kathy, anything in closing?
Well, if I can just pray for a couple of minutes.
Sure, absolutely. Yes.
Okay. All right. Lord, we just thank you so much for tonight and all the dynamics of it. It was just wonderful as always. Thank you that Nancy will be feeling better tomorrow, but within the next week or so, her soreness will be gone in Jesus' name and lessened every day. And Father, I pray right now for children that are struggling with addicted parents. They're raising their own self. They're going hungry. They're not warm enough and things like that, Lord. And I just pray that you will keep them alive. You will show them some way to help their self maintain and sustain. And Father, I thank you that you said declare that the childhood would not destroy you and that do not let Satan win. So Father, I claim that right now for all people that have troubles, that have had troubles. If they're 90 years old, even Pastor Hammond, as old as he is, had issues that his dad caused. And so, Father, we don't have to be bound by that. We can release it, and it can go in the background. It will not be a trigger point. It will not be just terrible, terrible bondage. We can be free. So I thank you, whom the sun sets free is free indeed. And you said everyone can bring their burdens to the cross and leave them there. So we thank you for that. I agree with all the prayers that have been prayed, and I thank you for the meeting Chaplain John and Michael had with the man's son-in-law, and for that wonderful gifted waitress. It is an art. There are some people that cannot be hospitable. They don't even see somebody has a need. But then there are other people that are like, can I get you some more of this? Do you need that? Can I do anything for you? So, Father, it is a ministry and it is a gift. So thank you for that. We do pray for Israel. We pray for Jerusalem. We pray for Tel Aviv and all the places in between. We thank you for Pastor Doe, Pastor Fred, Dave and Willie, just all of the ministers in Abba Father International. And I do thank you that Robin is on the, she got the last treatment. The last treatment was the last treatment for a while. So thank you for that. We do pray for people in hospice that their family members will be able to get all the details that are necessary and get closure on things that, that they can only when these people are alive. So thank you for that. We do pray for the first responders, Lord, all military, all phases of first responders and safety, law enforcement type things. And so we thank you so much. And again, I pray for Chaplain John as he takes care of Nancy, Lord. She's been the caregiver for any time he's had an issue. But now, Lord, he is going to just nourish her with just anything she needs and all the attention. Thank you that they're such a wonderful couple, and bless the children, Lord. And thank you, thank you, thank you for all you've done, all you're doing, and all you have planned for us. And we'll be so careful to give you praise, honor, thanks, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Kathy. Sister Sharon, anything in closing?
No, I just, I really, really enjoyed tonight and just hearing everybody pray. And I do love listening to everybody pray. It just means a lot to me to be able to just hear people's voices and the prayers and stuff. And I just want to thank you for having these programs every night to be with us, Chaplain John.
Oh,
this means everything.
All right. Okay. Now, tomorrow night, my plan now is to spend a lot of time tomorrow on the Book of Revelation, because things are coming together. As I told you, I'm waking up in the morning and I'm having like an hour Bible study. So I want to incorporate a lot of this and then teach it Wednesday. So it'll be new to you also. A lot of it will be new to you. Really excited. I shared some with Pastor Fred earlier today, and he loved it. He absolutely loved it. So, all right. Sharon, I want to pray for you. Lord, we thank you for Sister Sharon, Lord. And Lord, it's like we're kind of pleading with you, Lord, or before you with supplication for her. And that, Lord, this last part would heal, Lord, would heal. It's not worse, as I understand. It's just not healing. Closing, that's what it is, closing. So we're asking that you would move miraculous. Lord, there's a lot of prayer that has gone up for Sister Sharon. And this last part of where that wound was would close. And that she would, all that pain associated with it would end. And she could put that behind her, Lord, and move forward with you in starting to walk and exercise and things like that. So thank you, thank you, thank you for her, Lord. And again, comfort her. Thank you for her son, Lord, who's been such a blessing to her. Bless him in all ways. And we thank you, thank you, thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, Sister Rita, you are up. No, 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 you're not. This would be Gigi and Randy. If you have anything, last comments here or prayer.
I can't really think of anything. I think everybody else prayed so wonderfully that I think they covered it, most of it. I'm trying to think if there's anything. Is there anything that you'd like me to pray for?
Yes. Yes. That tomorrow everything would come together in this understanding I have of the Book of Revelation. that I could teach it tomorrow night and Wednesday.
Oh, okay. Are you teaching us or at a church or both?
Well, you get the first fruits. You get the first fruits. You see the difference between me and Pastor Fred? He gives you the leftovers, and I give you the first fruit. Well, so how was that? You see the difference between us?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a lot. Okay. So, Lord, we want to thank you for your word, and we want to thank you that we are able to study your word, and that John is studying and teaching us so that we can understand, and also teaching other people as well. And so we pray that you would speak to him, lead him, guide him, help him to be organized in a way that would be helpful, not just to him, but to the rest of the hearers of what he's teaching. And we pray that you would help him to prepare exactly what you want him to focus on. And we thank you for your word. And we thank you for looking carefully into your word so that we can understand what you have to tell us and what we need to do about your word, not just what you're telling us, but then how we need to follow what your word says. So we pray an anointing on John. He already has one, but we're praying for that to continue in abundance, and that you would help him. You would help him in every way, and it would be a blessing to everyone. And I also want to pray for Nancy, that she would not have any ill effects from this incident, and that you would heal her and protect her and watch over her, Lord, and resolve that for her in a healing quickly, in the mighty name of Jesus. And I also want to pray for Sharon, and we have been praying that she would be healed, and I'm going to continue to pray that she would be healed. And as John prayed, that sore would be, you would sew that up, and there would be no infection there, and that you would deliver her from the spirit of infirmity, and that you would encourage her.
Yes.
We would like to see her walking. And she's talking, but she's not walking and talking, which is what we would like to see. And so we just bless her. We bless her son helping her and the people that come to help her. But we pray that there would be a resolution, a final resolution to this thing that is not healing. Either show them what to do, but we would prefer that you would do it in a miraculous way. So that's what we're praying for in the mighty name of Jesus. And I want to pray a blessing on everyone who's listening, and pray that you would comfort those that need comfort, that you would give good rest to every single one of us, and that you would heal those of us that are still dealing with things that we know that you can heal. And so that's what we're asking for continually, Lord. And as Rita prayed too, I just want to pray over our country, Lord. I talked to one of my longest known friends today, and he lives in a sanctuary city. And he was just saying that people are so upset about what happened at the election. And so I pray that you'd give him wisdom. He's a bold witness for you. But he said it's very disconcerting to have all these people being angry. And so I just pray protection over he and his family. And I pray that you give him great wisdom, like the other Christians that need wisdom, that are surrounded by people that are upset about what happened. And we pray that you would save those people, and they would come to the knowledge of the truth, and that their minds would be set right. This is like a really like twisted mindset, and not being able to see into the future, the short-term future,
and no less the long-term future, and that it's destructive for everyone, including them. So we just pray mercy on our country. We pray mercy on Trump and all the other people that are trying to do the right things. And we just pray that you protect them and watch over them, and that the plans of the wicked would be canceled in your mighty name. And we thank you for the future and the hope that we have. And I also want to pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that on each and every one of us, that we would have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit for the preaching of the gospel, healing the sick, casting out demons, healing the brokenhearted, and all the other things that you have provided for in the Word. And I just want to thank you for this really good conversation that I had with a business owner here that I know who's a Christian, and she's very confused from her church being confused. And so I pray that she wants to get together, and that would be great. And so I thank you for her. She's kind to everyone and is a wonderful person. And so I thank you. I thank you that she shared that with me. And so I just want to lift her up and her family too. And Lord, I pray that all of us would have this, I'm not sure what to call it, like mental clarity, so that if people want to speak to us, that we will know what to say in the right response, in the right attitude, and the right way. And so it's not up to us to convince anyone, but it is up to you to help us to know what to say, when to say it, and to whom to say it. And so we thank you in advance for your provision for each and every one of us. So we pray protection on us and our families. And I also want to pray for, there's many of us that have been praying for our family's salvation, our friends' salvation, and they're just still very resistant. So we just pray for a breakthrough for every single one of us that have been praying, and that you would lead these people to yourself, Lord. We can only do what we can do, but it's up to you to convict them for their benefit and for their future and hope. So we just pray all that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, we're about ready to close.
And Chaplain, one more quick thing. Lord bless Twizzle. She's supposed to be in Austin or heading that way if she isn't already. Give her a safe trip. Open every door that needs to be open for everything she needs to get there and all she needs while she's there. And just give them a wonderful visit in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, Twizzle.
Amen.
Twizzle, hello.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Oh, can you hear me?
Yes, you came in at the last second, but go ahead.
Okay, I did. I'm just here, and I just wanted you all to know I'm here in Dallas, and Bucky's getting ready to get me a brisket sandwich, and everything is good. Praise God. Woo-hoo! We're only about, awesome. 300 miles from Austin, so we'll get there.
All right.
Awesome, awesome.
Okay.
Okay, that's all my news. God bless
you
all.
Thank you. Yes,
thank
God
you
bless
for
you
checking in.
You. All right.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Mm, bye.
Okay, so tomorrow morning we have prayer at starting at 10 a.m. Eastern. And then tomorrow night we have Bible teaching. It'll be on the Book of Revelation. And what I'm doing is kind of showing a big picture of how the Book of Revelation is functions. There's a function to it. And there's really neat things that the Lord's showing me. I'll give you one. We know the religion of the first 3.5 years is paganism and the whore of Babylon. Right, Sister Kathy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, in Revelation chapter 9, there is demons released from the abyss.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yeah. Meaner demons, deeper demons.
Yeah. Those demons are in conjunction. The Lord has allowed this in conjunction with the paganism of the Whore of Babylon. The paganism of the whore is drawing that out of hell.
Well.
You see the big picture?
Yeah.
We can't forget that in the first 3.5 years, the whore is in power. And that's what the Bible calls the whore. But it's a religious whore with every type of wicked belief you could think of except the gospel. And what are they doing? They're killing. The whore is drunk with the blood of the saints and the martyrs. So their religious belief and what they're doing is opening the doors of hell to come out on the earth.
Unbelievable.
See, those are the things the Lord is showing me.
Mm-mm-mm.
Okay.
The book is being open.
Yes, yes, yes. So God bless everybody. Thank you. It was a good night tonight. Nice preaching from Pastor Fred. And we had a good interaction afterwards. So hope to see you either tomorrow in the morning for prayer or tomorrow night for looking into the book of Revelation. All right. God bless you now.
Amen.
Oh, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
O God of burning, cleansing flame,
send the fire.
Your blood-bought gift, today we claim.
Send